If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 295. Whew, we're in the home stretch.
To what? We don't know. We're just stretching. We're almost there.
300.
Oh, right. Well, anyway, guys, good morning. We're filming this bright and early, aren't we, Lily?
Yeah, well, my laser treatment went well.
Oh, my God, that's right.
I was worried that I might have some, like, I didn't think it was going to peel or anything. It said there was no downtime, but, like, there was really no downtime.
Wow, I love that. I can't wait to see your results.
Me too. The nurse that was helping too, because it's the dermatologist, but then, like, the nurse was, like, prepping me and stuff for it. And I was like, so, like, do you think it's going to work? She's like, oh, yeah, easy. And I was like,
love that.
Okay, that's encouraging. And then we like did it. And then afterwards, she was like giving me the products and stuff. And she was like, I'm so excited to see your before and after. And I'm like, me too.
Oh my God. Love that. Maybe we can show them on the show if they're really good.
You I mean, I want to make sure it works first and then I'll show you the before and after. But also like, don't make fun of me because the before, it's going to be rough.
No.
I also had a bunch of zits yesterday when I like haven't had any zits for a while. And they were like, so, like, is acne a problem? I'm like, no, I don't know where they came from. I swear, it's new.
Oh, my
God. But, yeah, so my before is even more rough than normal.
Well, you know what's more rough than that? Ned Fulmer's career. Am I right? Good segue.
Good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, if you thought the Ariel interview, if that's what you want to call it, I guess, if you thought that was bad, he has come out with a follow-up. Not episode. This is just a video addressing it, but holy shit.
Yeah, we're going to do a really quick catch-up with Ned Fulmer and how it's been going after the Ariel video. So if you haven't seen, we covered this from the cheating scandal from when we found out that Ned was cheating on his wife with his producer. But then years later, which was recently, we covered the fact that he came back to the internet after like 2 years of a hiatus.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it hasn't been going well.
No, because he came back with a podcast that's called Rock Bottom with Ned Fulmer. His whole premise is that he was going to interview people who have been at rock bottom in their life. And he kind of just sits there and watches and nods his head.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know why I know why he thought that this was a good idea, because one, he could do the Ariel episode to launch it. But also, I'm just like, when have you ever been an interviewer?
Yeah, I did, out of curiosity, tune into the episode directly after the one with Ariel, which we showed pretty much in full, but heavily edited because it was a rough watch. It was very, very intense. And honestly, it's not doing very good as far as views go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not doing great. I mean, the one with Ariel had 1.2 million views, and the one directly after had 51,000. And then ever since then, it's just
the drop off is insane. The last two, one was 5 days ago, has 2,300 views, and then 12 days ago, 2,900.
Yeah. And then Ned actually has another YouTube channel, like his own kind of personal YouTube channel, where he, like 3 weeks ago, when he posted what I've been doing, that got 1 million views. But then a day ago, he posted, which country has the best noodles? And that got 4,800 views.
And even addressing the backlash. Oh, I guess so. This was a video on his YouTube channel, but he also put it
on TikTok.
Is that the same video?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm mostly confused that how was he getting 1 million on that fighter jets video? That's weird.
Maybe people clicked
by accident.
It
almost feels like it was, or like it was promoted or something.
Yeah. Notably, I think that on his personal channel, it definitely looks like he's trying to do more Try Guy content, like kind of what he was known for before. But that's also not going well.
No. And he brings that up in this video where he's addressing things or addressing the backlash, because he's like, well, that's just like embedded in my DNA. And it's like, okay, I think we need to maybe figure something else out, sir. Again, I don't think that he should be ostracized so he can never have a career again. Like, right. I don't think that that's a positive thing. And obviously, he needs to support his kids, and he mentions that Ariel has some stake in the podcast. So like she wants it to do well too. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't think she really cares if it fails, probably. I don't think he needs to be on camera as a personality anymore. I think that ship has sailed and he needs to pivot. And I don't understand why he doesn't understand.
Well, and honestly, I mean, this may sound pretty harsh, but I don't think he was ever a solo personality. You know what I mean? No, he was never just him and needed the other Try Guys to like balance him out and just like make him interesting. God bless.
He needed to be the wife guy. He needed to reference Ariel even when she wasn't there to be interesting.
Now, our researcher included an article from Rolling Stone. So I guess when the podcast came out, they also did an interview with Rolling Stone. And there's a couple quotes here that are interesting. And we didn't cover this when we covered the podcast. So we'll just read a little bit. It says here, after Ariel Fulmer's life collapsed, she hopped out of her husband's car and walked around a New Jersey airport with no sense of direction. The aftermath of that was messy, Ariel tells Rolling Stone. I was sitting in the airport waiting for a flight that was almost 6 hours later. So I walked into Brooks Brothers and I bought myself an expensive suit jacket. I was like, I deserve it. And I distinctly remember this woman in the airport bathroom looked at me and said, sharp jacket. And I was like, thanks, my husband cheated on me. And then it says, I don't think I've ever heard that story, Ned tells Rolling Stone. And she says, I mean, why would I tell you?
Oh my God, this sounds better than the podcast. Oh my God, why wasn't this filmed?
This is good. It's really good.
They're on a joint Zoom call also for this interview.
Yeah, awkward. And then Ariel says, the goal from this point forward is that Ned's work is not going to be focused on himself. That's the boundary that I've set for our family, not talking about our relationship, our dating lives, or our children. I mean, does she just mean the relationship?
I was going to say, does he know that?
No, I'm so dead. Because he's centering it around himself. But I guess she doesn't mean like he can't be on camera. She just doesn't want to be
like
a part of it.
Personal life. It's about like him doing stuff with other people. And he like claims it's about like merging education and entertainment. It's like, okay, you just want to be famous.
They get asked, you two are open about how you're moving forward, not in a relationship, but as co-parents to your two kids. Before releasing this podcast, did you have to contend with the realization that your kids could one day listen to it? And Ariel says, oh, absolutely. We both knew that this was something that they would listen to. We almost kind of did it with them in mind. This is a type of conversation between your parents that you want to be able to see. They know we're separated and they're not very tech savvy right now, thank God, but they will be one day and we know it's going to come up. I didn't want them to Google their dad. I didn't want them to Google their mom and have the scandal be the first thing that came up. I wanted there to be a new work out there. I want to be able to say you guys were there. This is what we did to move past it. We moved past it with integrity. We moved past it with trust and we moved past it together. And then Ned says, and I hope that by the time we have that age-appropriate conversation, they will have a decade of wonderful memories with their parents and their family, even though their parents are not together.
I mean, honestly, that explains a lot more, like it gives some more insight as to why Ariel would want to do it.
What do you mean? Because she would be doing it for the kids?
Yeah.
I mean, I do find that interesting. We're going to get into obviously why we're talking about this today is because Ned put out that video. But in general, I just feel like it is weird that she's like a stakeholder when he said that. And I feel like he said it very purposefully, like she is a stakeholder in my podcast. I did find that weird because it did like give me a little like, oh. Okay, why? Like, you could be family, you could be co-parents, but why are you a stakeholder in his damn podcast?
Well, because I think he was the main breadwinner of their family, so it's like...
Oh, like he just wants her to earn something from it if it does well?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because if, like, maybe even that was, like, kind of a condition of going back to the internet, is that, like, yeah, you can try and redeem your career, but, like, I'm gonna...
If you want me on board, 50%. Like, I need to make money. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Another update that we did briefly touch on was that Ned did this random wrestling side quest.
Yeah. I was confused when I saw it, mostly because of his dance moves, if you want to call it that.
What is confusing about this to you?
Oh my God, I hate it. I hate it so much. He's like a worm. Like, it's painful to watch.
Yeah.
But I didn't, and I still don't know the context. Like, was that just like a one-time thing? Was it like a, I don't know.
We may never know.
We don't.
Unfortunately, he didn't address that in his backlash. He should have addressed the wrestler thing. Okay, so we are going to watch through at least a bit of Ned's addressing the backlash video. Everybody, clench your cheeks.
Can I say that my first reaction when Jesse sent this to me was pay attention to, in my opinion, it seems like how hard he is trying not to do his...
You think? Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, his grudge croak.
Oh, he did get bullied for that. By us included. Mm-hmm. But it was unbearable. He does need to work on that with like a speech therapist.
Deservedly so.
Hello. I've heard a lot of the commentary and reactions to my podcast episode with Ariel, and I wanted to take this video to address some of them. That episode with Ariel was mostly about her story And now in this video, I'll tell a little bit more of mine. There's a lot that we wanted to keep private, but some things I'll touch on today. First, I know that it was a very painful and uncomfortable conversation to watch. I know for some of you, it reopened things. For us, it felt like a necessary step to be able to move forward. We knew we would always get these sort of questions in any context online, and it felt like the only way to move forward was just to face it head on. As has been reported in interviews, launching the podcast with a conversation with Ariel was Ariel's idea. She's a stakeholder in the Rock Bottom podcast.
I don't like the way he said it. I don't like the way, well, the way he says anything, but that in particular, like, it just makes it seem like you guys need to stop being mean to my podcast because it needs to do well, because Ariel also wants it to do well. Like, it just is a weird implication.
Oh, no, for sure. And also, a lot of people were quick to point out after that first episode went up that that wasn't a new channel. That was an existing YouTube channel that the two of them shared. So that also could be why she is a stakeholder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because it used to be a different podcast that the two of them did.
Oh, I see. But that gets tricky too, because podcasts are on like different platforms. And like, there's so many different elements to a podcast. It's like, if she had a stake in that YouTube channel for some reason, if that was like legally hers, then that wouldn't transfer to like everything for the podcast. But I think he probably did give her stake in the podcast, which I'm like, how official? Like, I feel like that's so weird too. Like, people are very interesting to me. I'm like, that's your ex-wife. Like, I don't know. It's like, did you get the papers drawn up by a lawyer?
No, genuinely. Like, I don't know if they've gotten divorced or if they're just still separated. So. I think actually, no, because he talks about legal stuff in this. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, when you're splitting everything and going to court, you do have to have things in writing.
Yeah.
And it's like, who gets the podcast channel? And then maybe that was like the start of the conversation for like, what do we do with it? Should we start something new? And he's like, oh, well, I still want to be famous. Let me do a podcast.
Yeah, it's weird.
But maybe it was that in that she then gets 50% of whatever they do with it.
50 seems insane.
I don't know if it's 50.
Not that this is raking in any meaningful income at the moment, but still.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be her primary focus.
Right.
And she wants it to be successful. So that was part of the reason why, in terms of having that conversation, we did it together rather than on any other platform. We knew it would draw a lot of attention, and I know that some of you have only seen 15-second clips of me putting my foot in my mouth, but I hope for those that watch the full hour.
Not him acting like things were like taken out of context.
Let me tell you something, Ned. I have never taken something out of context less than that fucking podcast. I edited it just to be understandable, like so that people could literally just sit there and watch it, because there were so many lulls and ums and oohs and ahs that I just couldn't deal with it. But there was nothing taken out of context. Like, yeah, you did put your foot in your mouth multiple times.
And that's it was embarrassing. Not the only time he alludes to things kind of like, oh, if you only saw a portion of it, or if you don't know about the entire thing. It's like, what bigger picture do you think people like have seen that they like? Because everyone, I feel like, had pretty unanimous opinion about it.
Took something away from it. You know, any clip that you see on TikTok is just one small snippet of an hour-long conversation of 3 years.
That is all equally as painful to watch.
Trying to work through this. After discovery, I started an intensive program of therapy, group therapy, and work to really try to understand what I had done, why I had done it, and what it meant for my relationship and my life. This involved a lot of facing rationalizations, denials, minimizations, all of these mental clouds that help you continue behavior that you know is hurtful, and you still do it anyways. So it let me face the truth and acknowledge in no uncertain terms that I cheated on my wife with an employee of my business, and it caused her immense pain and shattered our marriage, and also caused a lot of pain to a lot of other people. Those were my selfish actions and my choices.
Does it not feel like it is pulling teeth to get him to say that.
I mean, it's a hard thing to say.
Like, I feel like it is like being like yanked out of him. And yeah, it's like,
I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been 3 years and you still can't really like.
I know. But then if he said it too like flippantly, then people will be like, he doesn't even care. You know what I mean? So I think he's like trying to like find the balance. Like, how do I even talk? You know what I mean? Like, I have to give that to him at least.
I have to wonder when she hears him say anything at this point, because like I feel like everything that comes out of his mouth is like dripping with like he's saying the words, but like
it doesn't feel genuine.
Like his eyes, it doesn't. Yeah. It just feels like he's angry that this happened to him,
or like annoyed, not that it happened to everyone else. Still being kind of like chastised for it.
Exactly. And I just can't imagine how she would look at him the same way. I mean, just because of the cheating, but then also just like him like put on this kind of performative, and maybe it's not, but it like that is what it feels like.
Yeah.
It just feels like he doesn't think he, like, I don't think he thinks this is an equivalent reaction.
Right.
For some reason. And I'm like, I feel like it's probably like not as significant of a reaction as it maybe should be.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
There, I sought to understand the patterns of behavior that led to this. I did work with internal family systems and parts work, started in the 12-step program, and continued to understand why I had done what I did, what the underlying issues were, and what it was that I was running from when I chose to do that selfish and self-destructive behavior.
Not that it's like technically any of our business, but it's like he never shares any of those.
What do you mean?
Like he never shares any of like, he talks about like the minimizations and the justifications for why he was doing it, never shares any of those. Like he was facing the problems that he had with himself, like never addresses any of those.
Yeah.
I don't think that would really make it any better, but I'm just probably being nosy.
In a setting like this, I would be like, oh, I don't think he should do it here. But I do think it is a little bit odd that he didn't get into that in the conversation with Ariel, because I feel like they did share so much and she shared so much about how she felt and how much it affected her so deeply in very specific ways. And yeah, I guess he doesn't get as detailed of like why he like said like, oh, the dream of what we had died. Like,
exactly.
That doesn't really sound like somebody who's like worked through what was going on with them and why they cheated. He sounded like he was like, well, I mean, like, I thought we were one thing and then we weren't, and so I went and cheated. Like, that's how it...
Exactly.
That's what it gave in the interview, but I don't know. Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our sponsor, Masterclass.
Masterclass is amazing because it offers you over 200 classes that you can take from the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. I've personally been watching the James Clear Building Atomic Habits class, and I definitely have taken a few notes because I don't always have the best habits, but he's been teaching me a lot, especially to allow your environment to help you with the habits by like putting things in front of you, because like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, if you don't know, I am a social anxiety girly, so I actually took Amy Poehler's class that's called Apply the Principles of Improv in Your Life, and I took it mainly because I love Amy Poehler, but it surprisingly helped me with a lot of useful like life tips.
Yes, and
you know. And honestly, Masterclass was such a pleasant surprise. It really has given me something to look forward to watching and listening while I'm doing my chores or just driving, anything like that. It's super entertaining. And then on the flip side, it's actually teaching you really valuable life lessons. So win-win.
It's true. You can listen or watch on your phone, on your laptop, or your TV. And the plans start at only $10 a month, billed annually. That gives you unlimited access to all of their classes, which, like I said, there's over 200 of them. So you have a lot to choose from.
And there's no risk. risk because every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee.
And Masterclass also always has great deals during the holidays, and sometimes you can get up to 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/DWKT and check out the current offer.
That's up to 50% off over at masterclass.com/DWKT, masterclass.com/DWKT. And thank you so much to Masterclass for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Like, that was one of my problems with the interview, is it was like not really him acknowledging any of the circumstances behind it. It was just kind of being like, well, it happened.
Yeah.
And even now it's like he's saying how he went through all these motions to figure out all this stuff, but he doesn't actually share any of it. It feels like maybe a little vulnerability would have gone a long way.
Yeah.
In terms of my relationship with Ariel, it started as a therapeutic separation. And then from there, I prepared a disclosure document that answered all of her questions and volunteered for a lie detector test to then, in a therapeutic setting, convey that information to her so that we could build something new on the same page of knowing exactly everything that happened. And this is a well-known therapeutic technique for people trying to recover from betrayal trauma. And speaking of betrayal trauma, that is a phrase that I learned. The idea of betrayal trauma and integrity abuse and these ways that are, you know, systems and language for understanding the pain and why keeping secrets like that, especially of a sexual nature, can be so damaging to your partnership. So those were things that I learned about and continue to practice on a daily basis when it comes to saying what I mean and doing what I say, and when I make a mistake, immediately correcting it to keep my sense of integrity intact. Additionally, I practice empathy and listening and boundaries with Ariel. And others.
Feels like maybe you shouldn't have needed therapy and a bunch of people to tell you all of that.
I'm so those are all some pretty people generic don't things, have but those things. Some people don't have like
sociopaths.
Empathy. No, is it when you don't have empathy? Does that make you a sociopath?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's other things too, like other markers, not just empathy.
That's like the main thing though, is that you can't.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he didn't have like no empathy. Maybe he just had like low empathy. Or like maybe some people, you know, they have that like main character syndrome where they literally only think about themselves. Like maybe it's narcissism. Maybe it's something else. But, you know, maybe it could be that. Like, I don't know. It sucks because I have to ask myself on a human level, like, what more do I want from him? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not his viewer. So like, I don't really care. And I will just move on after this and not watch anything he ever puts out. But like, he's saying the things I think that he's supposed to say, right?
I guess, but I just think he shouldn't be on the internet saying them because right. I think he should get off.
Yeah, but that ship has sailed. He has made it very clear he's here to stay and he wants to, you know, be on the internet.
That's what I find so interesting because towards the end, especially, he really is speaking to his viewers and his supporters.
Mm.
And to that, I just was like, are they here with us?
There's probably a few. There's always a few. Look at Colleen Ballinger. She has a few still.
That's true. That's true. But like seeing the drop off so much with this podcast, it seems like it's very few and far between. And he is acting like he still has a pretty solid group behind him.
Part of what was damaged about my brain. So from there, Ariel prepared an impact letter that described all of the pain that she felt, and I was able to hear that and take it in and sit with it to really understand all of the ways that my betrayal had affected her and what it meant through her point of view. So this was a long process that it took, approximately 2 years. And continues work even to this day at the 3-year mark, even though we decided to separate officially 2 years in. It's something that I'm really proud of, that's really changed my life. And, you know, I understand that if you, a viewer, is watching this for the first time or just sees this 15-second clip on TikTok,
oh my God.
You don't understand everything that has led us to this point. And I know that it'll take time. And if you want to just judge me off of one clip of me talking about society, which...
Sir?
Why is he acting like he had a bunch of redeeming moments in that interview?
I literally had to do, like, some decompression methods after I edited that entire podcast. Like, I was in there like swimwear. I know the entire fucking podcast.
It feels like a lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, no, it is 100%. But I do think that's an issue that he has in general. He doesn't seem...
That's why it's so hard for me to, like, perceive right. any of this as being genuine, because yeah. it just feels like... Really? You think that it was just like, oh, 15-second clip?
It wasn't.
No.
All I like, saw was Ariel so deeply hurt, and you were kind of just sitting there not really knowing what to say other than, I'm sorry, or offering something that, yeah, did seem like you stuck your foot in your mouth. Like, it wasn't a whole lot yeah. that you were giving us, and she was being very raw and open with how she was affected, and you just couldn't really go there with her. And that's what I saw from watching the entire podcast and then had to edit the podcast. I was there. I saw the whole thing.
Like, I would describe her demeanor and her participation in the conversation as being focused on having the conversation and yeah. like talking about it. His, I feel like, was very in his head about like, how can I look the least guilty?
Yes,
and
it was
just
more
like, backfired major. Yeah, exactly.
100%. And I still think that's even what's happening right now. And that's why he's not editing and he's trying to seem raw and real. And you're right. It is not hitting quite right. Like, there is mm-hmm. a piece of it. I'm like, he is saying the thing. So I can't like sit here and say he's not saying the things he's supposed to say. But it just feels weird.
There's a weird sense of tension that feels like he's just like, fuck, I have to say this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it seems
that.
Like you can tell he's like, obviously, he doesn't want to be there saying this. Like,
right.
no shit. But like, it seems like he's like pissed that he yeah. has to say it. And that's what comes across. And it's like, I obviously can't prove that. It's
right.
just a vibe.
It's just a vibe.
But allegedly, in my opinion. What I would actually love to see, and not actually, but like, I would love to know how he would react if he was in Ariel's shoes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like, you know that, like, similar to how we've watched like videos of boyfriends like freak out after they get caught cheating and they're like crying and throwing a tantrum. Like, that's the kind of energy I get from him, where it's like he had to go to all this therapy and stuff to even figure out a glimpse of like how Ariel felt after all of this and like what you did to her. But like, I feel like if it happened to him, huh.
You know what's interesting? I don't know that he, and this is obviously speculation, but I don't know that he would have given her the same grace of like going on
no!
years long of a hiatus. I think he would have talked about it online way before, made something out of it, if you know what I mean. And yeah, it would have been like a whole thing, even if it meant throwing her under the bus. I think obviously that's the mother of his children and maybe it wouldn't have gone down like that.
No,
but she
I
did give him a lot of grace.
100% agree.
And everything.
Yeah. The levels that it took for him to have to like learn to give her that kind of consideration, that he would even try to do all of that and like go to all this therapy and learn all of these words and all this stuff. And it just feels like that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Like, vice versa. Like, she's had the patience to let him like come to terms with it, it seems like, which I'm not really sure he has. And I just don't feel like if roles were reversed, he would have showed her the same grace. Or he just would have been like the biggest victim ever.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was not the best response to that situation. You know, you are welcome to do that. I know that people have a choice when it comes to their what they watch and what they consume. And if people don't want to continue engaging with me on the internet, then that's a consequence of my actions and something that I have accepted.
Have you?
Moving forward, I really believe in the mission of the Rock Bottom podcast to
the mission
foster conversations with empathy and curiosity. It stems from a lot of that group therapy work of seeing how much someone sharing how they're addressing the wreckage in their life that they caused and how they're overcoming a challenge can really be a catalyst for healing. So if it's affected you so far, I'm grateful for that. And if you are wondering what the show is about, I encourage you to check it out. And so that will be on the Rock Bottom channel. And on this channel, it'll be more entertainment forward, still under the values of curiosity and empathy. I know people are saying that it's similar to some of the stuff I did before with BuzzFeed and Try Guys. And that's true. It's the DNA of stuff that I love making, mixing education with entertainment. and developing new show concepts that I'm really excited, but it's not going to be too drastically different than the type of work I did before, because that's just who I am and the type of stuff that I like to make. And I sincerely hope that you are connecting with it and resonating with it. And if not, that's okay too. Like I said, it's a consequence of my actions. So that's the type of community that I'm building here. I'm grateful for community. You watching this video building. And listening.
Got it. Okay, that's enough.
He's so full of shit. It just feels so self-serving. And like, even the fact that that's getting that much attention in this video, like the video should have been like, I said some shitty stuff in that response. And I understand that you guys, like, it wasn't received well and I should have done better. And like, then explained the steps that he's gone through behind the scenes and like done all of that stuff. Not this like weird little self-promo where it's like, it's just in my DNA. And I'm just building a community. And it's like, fuck off.
I mean, listen, all in all, does it seem disingenuous and like,
yes,
a little bit like he's using therapy speak to kind of like make mm-hmm. it make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes, a little bit. Mm-hmm. That is how it mm-hmm. feels to me. But
yes, allegedly,
he could be doing
opinion.
Worse. You know what I mean? Like he could be wrestling. That was awful. I don't want to see
he
him
do that though. So,
well, but he could keep doing it. And we would have to see more clips. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm sure he would if it had been better received.
I'm so dead. No, like, I feel like in general, he is, I guess, trying for the sake of trying to save his image. And therefore, we have to remember that there's people like Ash Trevino, you know what I mean, on the internet and stuff like that. And he's awful and he threw away his relationship and his life is a consequence of that. And I'm never going to watch his content because I didn't watch it before. But in general, I'm like, I mean, I guess go off. I don't know. Like, I don't really know what to say
like,
about
just
him
anymore. Because people like Ash Trevino were calling Ballinger, like just because they do exist doesn't mean they should.
I'm so dead. Not the death to all of them. Wendy Williams? What do you mean?
Not what I meant. It was not literal. I just meant not everyone has to be a TV personality or a YouTube personality 100%. Or a celebrity. And I think, again, he has experience
right.
doing all this stuff. Like, he didn't have to be on camera again. And that's what I don't agree with.
No, 100%.
I don't think he should never have a career again, never be able to work, never be able to make money and support his family. That is not the camp I'm in. I'm in the camp of he is a self-serving douchebag that needs to right. maybe realize that his time has come to an end as being an internet personality because of his own actions. Consequences. He talked about those. Pretending like, oh, I'm just like all about empathy and curiosity. Like what? You just learned what empathy was, I feel like.
Yeah, you saying that he should have been like a producer or director behind the scenes, maybe with a pen name or something or whatever that's called when you change your name so that nobody knows it. He could have probably found more success because he arguably could offer something of value when it comes to like
yeah.
show ideas and stuff, work for a big company, consult for them or something.
He could have gotten hired even if it was like with his, I mean, they might not have credited him with his real name, but like, trust me, I'm sure there's plenty of men around Hollywood that would have hired him for stuff.
Yeah.
Like him cheating is not going to be like, how many men have cheated?
Almost all of them.
Right? That's not a deal breaker. Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Uncommon Goods.
The countdown is on. Holiday season is approaching. Well, actually, it's pretty much here.
Yeah, I was like, you told everyone Merry Christmas 2 episodes ago.
You know, I'm wearing a Christmas sweater. But Uncommon Goods is here to take the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else.
It's true. I feel like they're perfect because they're, like, unique enough that it does feel like they're very personal, both because they're just, like, unique gifts, but also because you can customize a lot of them, too.
And the thing I love about Uncommon Goods is it really helps out for those gifts that you need to buy for the person that you don't know what to buy them, you mm-hmm. know? They have fun things, but honestly, they have really creative things and things that are gonna make people feel really special.
I feel like most of the things on there feel as though you spent a lot of time picking it out.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses because many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches.
I was just browsing and I actually saw a gift that reminded me of Jesse. Maybe you'll get it in the mail soon. It's an Unlock the Wine Escape Room game and it comes with like a little cage that you put the bottle in and then you have to play the game
oh my God.
To be able to get it. Jesse loves escape rooms.
So don't wait, cross those names off your list before the rush and get 15% off your next gift by heading over to uncommongoods.com/DWKT.
That's uncommongoods.com/DWKT and you get 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Yeah, but you know, all in all, I just really hope he never puts out any more content like that again. I just don't want to sit through one of his kitchen videos anymore. It's like torture.
But did he notice? It's still a lot of vocal fry, but no croaking.
I don't know. It seemed pretty croaky to me.
Oh my God. He starts it. He's like, hello.
Yeah, he tried and then it started going, you know, he can't help it. It's his voice, unfortunately. Well, anyway, moving on to our next topic, which, wowza, I feel like there's a lot to cover here. And then do we know them? I do. And then there's so much to talk about, you know?
Yeah, she sent me a voice note yesterday giving me a rundown of what was happening. And I do not know them. I have heard the name. I didn't think I'd seen the face until she reminded me that I had seen the face before. But take us away. Tell us about Shannon Rose.
Okay, so Shannon Rose, do we know them? Yes. She was a former Storytime YouTuber in the same kind of, not like same group that I was in, but like she was very much up on the story the times era. When I was up on the story times, you know what I mean? And so we were just both kind of in the same world, and we have only met once in person. I want to make it very clear that I did not know about her Nazi fetish porn and racist porn when I met her and posed for a picture. Okay, I didn't know about
you
that.
You didn't say that in the voice note.
No, yeah, you know, there's a lot of lore here, and we're going to get to it. So basically, the way that Shannon describes her life story, she actually recently posted a TikTok. It was a little bit cringy, I have to admit. God bless. It was like, you know, when they have like those cards and something sad is written on it, and then they just like keep like taking, it's like cue cards almost, and it's like their life story.
Like, P.S. I love you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. So she did something like that, and then she talked about how she ran away from home, and then she became like a minor prostitute, and like a whole thing. It was like her whole life story.
Like a prostitute as a minor?
Yeah, which is sex trafficking, and obviously like
that. Yeah, I was gonna say, which is, you can't be a prostitute
exactly
if you're a minor.
Exactly, but correct. So she talks about that, and then she talks about how basically that and alcohol and drugs and stuff is what got her into porn. Now, she doesn't discuss what I'm talking about, which is her fetish porn, very often. She's addressed it, and she's basically said, like, you know, at the time she just did it and like didn't really think about how bad it was, but it's like really bad, like really, really, really. It's like her dressed as a Nazi, like literally walking like a black man on a leash, and like literally, no. Then the other thing,
what?
No, it's so bad. The other one is her stepping, because, oh God, this is like trigger warning. She steps because people have like this fetish with like heels that they step things. Yeah. She would step on live crawfish and kill them. Our researcher put the link. I'm like, okay, psychopath, we're not going to watch that. And so she has a very, very tumultuous internet history. And even when she went online and she talked openly about her porn, you know, career and how it affected her life, she still wasn't out of the woods, because I was explaining this to Lily yesterday. And she was filming with Tana Mojo when they went on like Santa Monica, I want to say it was Santa Monica Pier or like Venice Beach.
I think Venice.
Yeah. And there was a man unconscious in a public restroom, and they filmed him and were like laughing at him. And then she did a whole story time of like, we found a dead body. Like, it was like this whole thing.
And literally, like, I was like, never seen this person before in my life. And then she mentioned that. I was like, I take it back. I guess I have seen her. And then also I was like, how old? Because then she sent me a picture, and I was like, how old is she?
Older.
Tana Mojo was like 17 when that happened, if not younger.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of awkward. Like, Shannon has always been very nice to me. Like, very, very nice. She's always been so sweet in DMs and all that stuff. And it's just a very weird thing to understand, like, how bad her digital footprint is. Like, it's actually awful.
Yeah. And also, just a note that I feel like in that era of YouTube, it was so much more like, if you had past a certain amount of subscribers, like most people kind of like in some way or another, like even if it was just like on Twitter or like at VidCon or something, like it wasn't weird for like everyone to have kind of met.
No, 100%.
It was much more close-knit community, when now I feel like you can walk down the street and like people just have a million subscribers and it's like, I've never seen you before.
Well, the way that I actually met Shannon is like, bro, I only did this like twice. So fucking cringe. I hate even talking about this. But anyway, we used to do these like collabs, but it wasn't collabs. It was like we would all do a story time on a specific topic, and then we'd like shout out the other people's story time. I can't, literally shoot me in the fucking
head. I didn't know this.
Yeah,
tricks of the trade.
It's only been like twice. Ugh, it's probably still up on my channel.
Before I begin with the story, I just want to mention that this is a collaboration. It's not really a collaboration, it's a shout out. I'm very honest about that. I like doing shout outs for two reasons. Number one, you guys love story times. I don't always post story times. I definitely don't post every day. So I figure, since you guys love story times so much, why not just tell you where you can find more of them, even if they're not mine? Number two, why I do the collabs is obviously because I want my channel to grow. Duh. I don't know how to gauge the comments, okay? Because a lot of you guys are saying, oh my gosh, you deserve more subscribers. But then I do something to get more subscribers. drivers, and y'all bitches get mad. Make up your mind. In all seriousness, these people are wonderful. Please go check out their video. The people that I am virtually collabing with today are
Jesse V, Shannon Rose, Timmy Tomato, Nicola, aka Soundly Awake, and Loey Lane.
So when you're done watching this, please go and check out their videos and tell them that Jesse sent you. Okay.
Yeah, I can't. But anyway, one of them was with Shannon and like other people.
Was there a group chat?
I think there was a group chat, probably through text.
Yeah, like, how was sure, it coordinated?
Like, I have her phone number. Yeah, like I think this was like a whole thing. It's literally, I feel like I men in blacked myself so that I forgot the story time days. But like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that happens.
News to me. That's an interesting little behind the scenes secret.
Exactly. So I met her because we both launched liquid lipsticks with the same company, IGXO. Oh. I know, this story goes deep. Do we know them? We do. Actually, I do. But so I met her at an IGXO event, and it wasn't until then when I posted like a picture with her in my stories that like I started getting DMs like, oh my God, why would you support someone? She did Nazi porn. I was like, oh, well, wish I knew that like 2 hours ago. Like it literally was just like very, very jarring.
I feel like when you would meet people in the YouTube community or just social media community, you aren't going to go back and watch like 10 years of content.
No.
Like,
or go on their Reddit snark page or something and find out everything. You honestly just like kind of take them at face value, which isn't always the like, right thing to do. But then, you know, when you get informed of like people who have done the sleuthing, that's when you could just be like, okay, I don't want to associate with this person. So like if I saw Shannon at an event, God bless, I would not take a picture with her and post it. I wouldn't.
Like even thinking about like us becoming friends, like either one of us could have been a complete
I knew nothing
psychopath.
About you other than Beauty Break. That was it.
Yep. Well, I mean, there wasn't much I didn't have much of a digital footprint otherwise. But like, I didn't go back and watch like every single one of your videos first to be like, would I be friends with this person? It was like,
just
the
vibe. You're just vibing in the moment type of thing.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Now, the reason why we're here today is because Shannon has had some recent drama with her surrogate, or the person that was supposed to be her surrogate, Patience. Her name is Patience. I think that's a self-given name, but I could be wrong. Or maybe her mom named her Patience. She better work. Can you imagine losing your patience on Patience? That's kind of funny. And then we're going to be talking about Your Fertility Advocate, which is the agency that was helping to facilitate that match between Patience and Shannon.
The surrogacy.
Yes. So basically what has happened is that Shannon struggled with fertility for many years. I did know this because I have followed her for a while. So I did know that she had to do multiple rounds of like IVF, egg retrieval, the whole list. And then finally, she did have 2 children, and she now wants to have a 3rd child because she has 1 embryo left that is frozen. So in that whole process, they freeze the ones that they're not using.
Okay. Quick side question, just for context. Does she still make like, what's her main platform? Is she on YouTube or TikTok?
So she does still post on YouTube, but she confuses me. So I think, honestly, one of her main sources of like at least income as a creator, I think, is Patreon. She always is like advertising that on her Instagram and stuff, but she does post on YouTube. I'm just a little confused on honestly like what her content is. Like she still tries to do kind of like story times. Like she'll do it in the sense of like, oh, story time. Here's how I found out my daughter has what is it? Like oppositional defiance syndrome or whatever the fuck. Like she'll like do things like that.
Okay.
It's not as viewed. It's not as popular because story times in general are not as popular, but she documents pretty much everything. That's what you need to know about Shannon. Like her husband got a job as a firefighter and she like documented that whole process of like, guess what job my husband got? And then they did it's like she really, really brings everything into her content.
It's kind of stuck in like 2014.
God bless. 100%.
Sounds like.
Yeah. And she also is like pretty adamant. Like she shows her children on her channel pretty consistently. She talks about their diagnoses. She talks about her challenges. And one thing that listen, I understand losing your patience with your children. Like I get it.
Patience.
But I do think it's important to know because she does want to have a 3rd child. She went live and I saw this live and I don't really want to, maybe we could show a couple clips, but it was essentially her trying to like get ready or something. And both her kids, like she was like losing her patience with her kids because one was coming in without pants. And then the other one, like it was like this whole thing. And like her stress was very much like, dude, like, you guys need to stop. Like, what is going on? Like, she was just like freaking out. And people in the comments were like, you're going to have another kid? Like, that's intense. You know what I mean? And like, listen, I think if you want to bring more children to this world, like, I'm not here to tell you that you can't. But like,
it's like, but I could maybe say that you shouldn't. Well, it sounds like basically she has the embryo. So it's like, well, might as well.
Okay. So literally she has said like, you know I have my hands full with my two kids, but I just feel like I'm supposed to have three kids. And I'm like, okay, that's not really, you know what I mean? That's
good reason.
A good reason to have kids. Yeah. Personally, I don't think it is. And I think that if you're already struggling and like her husband is gone a lot of the time, he used to be like a full stay-at-home dad and help her with editing and stuff. And now he's like out of the house as a firefighter. So it's like a big difference. And she like is struggling with that. Obviously, being home all day with your kids is very difficult. And she homeschools. She's super crunchy. We're going to get into all that. She's like very, 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 very crunchy and lives in the middle of the forest and is giving, you know. You know what it's giving.
Got it. The C word.
But yeah, I just think that in general, adding another child just because you're like, well, I have the frozen embryo. I'm like, we should just do it. We're paying for storage of this embryo. And like, I feel like I'm supposed to have three kids. I'm like, yikerons. Well, I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
We've talked in the past about, was it Kira?
Kira Renee Siverston. Man, I know way too much about the most random people on the internet.
I know. You really do. But that when we talked about how she, didn't she have like a bunch of kids?
She just had her sixth C-section like a month ago.
That's fucking crazy.
Which is so very dangerous, by the way. But yeah,
I remember talking about when she was getting pregnant, because we were saying it didn't seem necessarily like she was like super excited to have the kid. It was like she wanted to be pregnant, and it was like she liked the
feeling of
it. This is all hypothetical, obviously, but it was like she liked the like attention she got and like the excitement around having a new baby. But then it's like, once you have the baby, it's like, okay, well, now I want a baby again.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the babies grow up.
Well, that's
and
the
it
thing.
It was like, yeah. Ask yourself why you're having the baby. Is it for you? Because like, you need to consider for them what it's
well,
and
like. If your cup, you know, is a little empty, then what are you going to be able to give to another child? And I really don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because I know some people, you know, when they feel like their heart is yearning for a child, for someone to tell them like, you shouldn't do that. It is harsh, but like at the same time, on a human level, I'm like, what would you
it's
be
It's not
able
just
to
because
give?
You're like, I don't like you. It's like thinking about the child and like what you're able to provide for it and like the home you're able to give it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, she's been vocal too about her daughter having, you know, certain special needs, and like the way she described it in her story time was like, she felt like a prisoner, and like, it was just like very intense. And she deals with a lot of struggles just with her oldest child.
And also that sounds like you probably have to give extra attention to that child. So like, yeah,
it just seems like not the most
bringing another child in.
Yeah,
it feels like a more selfish driven decision.
She says that she has like a lot of love to give, and that she feels like she has enough love to give to a child. I'm like, yeah, but sometimes loving children is not enough. Yeah, on the days where they're like asking you, why is this like this, why is this like this, why is this, and you're just like, oh my god, if I hear one more question, I'm gonna explode. Like, it doesn't help on those days. Like, obviously having a kid is so beautiful and all that stuff, but like, I knew when I had Amelie, I was like, that is it, I'm done. Like, two children, and that is it. That is all I can handle while still maintaining being a good mom. Anything more and I'm going to start being a worse and worse mom.
Well, and that's, I'm like, kids aren't on my radar, because that doesn't feel like something that I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I feel like, and that is something
the opposite
that doesn't exist as a mom in general. But then also, it's not that I wouldn't love them. Obviously, that would not be the concern. But like, I just don't know if I could provide them the environment they need to thrive.
And that is a very mature observation on your part that I wish a lot more people would take the time to do before they bring more children onto this earth. Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our last sponsor, and that's IndieCloud.
I know I've had a lot of stressful weeks lately for reasons that I can't legally speak about very much. But, you know, just because you're having a really bad week doesn't mean you have to have a really bad day. And IndieCloud is here to save my day a lot of the time, because I've had some tough weeks.
Yeah, IndieCloud is your go-to online dispensary for good times. You know, they've got gummies, flowers, pre-rolls, and more. And I mean, how many times can I say it? Love their Pineapple Express pre-rolls, and that is pretty much exclusively what I order, but Lily really likes the edibles.
And they have just normal ones where you can relax, or they have caffeine ones so you can kind of wake up in the morning, or melatonin ones so you can just forget the day and go to sleep.
And all of IndieCloud's products are all federally legal, THC, DEA certified, lab tested, and they are shipped discreetly and quite quickly, might I add.
So if you're 21 and older, and only if you are 21 and older, go to IndieCloud.co and use the code DWKT, and you'll get 40% 20% off your first order and free shipping.
Now, this is IndieCloud's biggest sale of the year, and it runs all month long. It's not just like a weekend sale or anything, so be sure to check it out. Again, that's IndieCloud.co using code DWKT. That's going to get you 40% off and free shipping. And thank you so much to IndieCloud for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. Now, we're going to be talking about surrogacy in general, and Patience is going to talk about, I mean, she doesn't really mention it that much, but there's a lot of like conversation around surrogacy here. With surrogacy, it's very interesting because I have heard a lot of discourse around this of people talking about how intended parents, so that would be Shannon and her husband Travis in this scenario, but like in general, that intended parents will treat a surrogate like an incubator and like, you need to do what we say. Your body is ours as long as you're like under contract. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is like something that is kind of not taboo, but like it's like the downside of surrogacy for some people. Some people have great intended parents and like a great match and a great situation. Some don't. And this kind of
Don't really acknowledge the
sacrifice.
Like, yeah, it was like that what the surrogate has to go through and how it affects them. And it's just like, we're paying you, do what
we
want
our baby. So like make it happen. It's giving a little bit teensy weensy of Handmaid's Tale. A little bit. Just a
teensy?
Little bit. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more. No, than teensy. I agree.
It's that they forget the kind of like that's not like a you're just doing a job. Like, no, that is affecting every aspect of your life. And then it also is like they have to give up something that they've been growing inside of them for 9 months.
Now, this is a very particularly weird fucking case because both the surrogate and Shannon were both very adamant, even to the agency when they signed papers, that they wanted to document this entire process on social media. They wanted it to be very public and everything out in the open. And that's very Shannon-coded, but it is interesting that Patience would agree to that.
I'm assuming it's probably because there was like a bonus offer.
What do you mean a bonus offer?
Like they got more, like
no.
She would agree to it for more money or something.
No. Some people are thinking that she wanted the attention that came with it, that she seemed to enjoy that. And we'll watch kind of both sides like leading up to when they met and stuff. It's very bizarre, but it does seem like they both really enjoyed the social media aspect and that was important to both of them.
Hello everyone. I hope you guys are having a great day. So I posted that we were saving up for a surrogate and it cost like 100K and I got a lot of questions. So I just wanted to make a quick little story because some people were like, why aren't you carrying your last embryo yourself? Like you've already had two kids with your own body. And the reason is my first pregnancy was like awful. My second pregnancy was awful in a whole other way, but I had a lot of like health complications and like very scary things that happened. And my doctors highly advised me to not carry another pregnancy. They said, if you want to have more babies, that surrogacy is the safest thing to do. So I just don't want to put my future baby at risk. It's just not worth it. I wish that I could just carry the baby myself, even though I don't like being pregnant. It's like not fun for me. But I also don't want to have to spend 100K to have someone else carry my baby.
100K is crazy, but I mean, being pregnant is crazy. So I get it.
100K wouldn't be enough for me. And also, 9 months is almost a year. That's not these days 100K salary.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Now, Patience has documented on her own basically how she has wanted to be a surrogate for a while. And what's weird is in her name, she does have surrogate and doula, but she's never actually been a surrogate for anybody.
I guess dress for the job you want.
I'm fucking dead. No, yeah, like I guess she like wants to be a surrogate. She actually did match with a family and she talks about this, how she matched with a family, but then right when they were supposed to start, she got pregnant with like her last kid. So she was like, oopsie, can't be your surrogate because I got pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah. Now she makes a lot of content about being a surrogate. Like she literally does like trends talking about how obsessed she is with being a surrogate, saying like it's all she thinks about. And this I do want to play because it kind of leads us into how Patience is also very crunchy and was looking for a match that was equally as crunchy as her.
Today is the day I have been waiting for a long time. I don't know if you know a little bit about when this whole surrogacy stuff started in me, so I'm actually gonna let you know.
Am I going crazy or does she sound like she's talking like Miranda Sings?
No, stop. Don't tell me that because then I'm not gonna be able to unhear it. Wait, let me touch.
That's all I could hear.
When this whole surrogacy stuff started in me, so I'm actually gonna...
I kind of see what you mean, but it's not... It's not like
I don't know what about it. It's something... No, it's like... As if Miranda was like talking in normal, like if she wasn't in...
Kind of. I do kind of hear that, yeah.
Let you know. So... A couple years ago, I had I was trying to decide if I was done having kids or not. I had Adeline, my four-year-old.
Don't curl your hair if you don't know what you're doing on the camera. Like, do that on your own time so you can take your own time, because she's, like, dropping her hair out of the damn clamp.
You know how I feel about multitasking and
Listen,
story time.
There's a couple ads that I get on TikTok where they're curling their hair and they really know what they're doing, and I don't mind if you do that. Like, while you're talking...
If it's second nature, yeah. Sure. If you're focusing and, like, you're not dropping good at hair focusing shit. On... Absolutely not.
No more.
Who is very high maintenance... she's a lot of work. I love her. But after that, I was like, you know what? I'd probably be fine if I never have kids again. and so I looked into being a surrogate after being a doula for a surrogate, and intended parents. And I was just like, yeah, like, this is what I want to do. I want to bring a baby into the world for somebody else because I love being pregnant. And I'm a doula and I've attended over 100 births. So I just, you know, I love birth and babies and all that good stuff, but I just don't really want to raise any more babies. I also have 3 stepsons. So my house is full of children. And so I looked into being a surrogate and was matched with a couple that I really liked and found out I was pregnant. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, no. It was really sad having to let the parents know who have tried for so long that they weren't able to have me as their surrogate, but it worked out. They found somebody. They have a little baby boy now. I'd love to be a surrogate for a family again. And so when I started kind of reaching out to people, I was really strong with like my views and what I wanted. I'm finding a family that doesn't want to make me be vaccinated, wants to do a home birth as well, because I do believe that birth is so much more serene and beautiful and safe and
safe. Okay. Yeah, safe is the wrong word to use there. If you want to say it's more serene, more, you know, you get to do whatever you want because it's not a hospital. Yeah. Sure. Having a home birth is absolutely, absolutely not more safe than having a hospital birth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just like factually incorrect. And it's actually less safe.
It's objectively wrong.
Yeah.
Just enjoyable for all the parties at home. So finding a couple that was okay with all of that was a little bit difficult because some are like, yes, that's what I want. And then after you start talking, it's actually not what they want. So this couple that I met were all the same as me and wanted everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is just amazing. So I'm excited to be able to talk to them today and get to know them a little bit more.
So the people she's talking about are Shannon and Travis. So she's like, I finally found people.
Oh, and so also she already was like pursuing a social media presence when...
Correct. Well, that's why her bio thing has surrogate in it. Like she wanted that to be, and especially like the doula stuff. Like she wants crunchy surrogate doula girl.
She wants
to be
known as like, yeah.
So people have speculated that because she has a social media presence, patience, that she kind of maybe was also like I mentioned, like looking for a little bit of clout from this. You know what I mean? They have some interesting vibes.
That definitely makes sense. I mean, I said she did it for money, which still could be true, but it seems like more she wanted to like get a presence as this being like her thing.
Yeah, I think that maybe she really does want to be a surrogate, but it kind of was like best case scenario where she's like, oh, I could be a surrogate and do it with a social media influencer. Yeah. And then we do it all on social media. Like, that's perfect. But this is like an example of like how much she was kind of like talking about it on social media.
So excited because any day we're going to be announcing who the intended parents are for my surrogate journey. And I'm so excited.
Why do we need to do the whole...
Like a teaser?
Yeah, literally. It was like countdown almost. And it's like,
yeah, it's like 5 more days until you meet the parents.
And they do the trend of the... is that Charlie XCX where it's like, my name is... No, it's not. No, it's not.
Her name's... something. It starts with a P.
But it's the trend where you do the handshake and then it's one person on camera and then it flips to the other person. They did this trend for Shannon's page, but they're not... together. So this is kind of like how they announced it. It says meet our surrogate aka gestational carrier, and then it has like a Zoom photo, and then it jumps to patients doing her like it's very awkward, like because it's like filmed in separate locations.
Oh, like why did they have the Zoom photo?
I don't know. A lot of choices that are made here are very questionable. And then it says in the caption, I've waited 1.5 years to find the woman who would give us the opportunity to be able to be parents again. We have had our past and only embryo left, I don't know what that means, in frozen storage for over 4 years now. Everything came together after joining We Are, and then she like tags the Facebook group that they met on, because I forgot to mention that they met on a Facebook group.
Perfect.
Of people looking for matches. That's where we found her, the woman we had been searching for and didn't know if we would ever find. That's when we met A Touch of Patience, which is her handle. Then we were introduced to the agency, and she brought us together and is going to be helping us along a very emotional and exciting journey. I'm so freaking excited for this. So this was July 7th where they announced it.
I think it was interesting wording in that caption that it was like, to give us the opportunity to be parents again. You're still parents. You have two kids.
Yeah, that is an interesting word choice. Yeah, it seems like she has this idea, because babies are very exciting. It's, I mean, they're so fucking cute when they're little. You know what I mean?
But then they grow into kids.
But then they're kids, and then they're crying because you didn't cut their sandwich in the right fucking angle.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Like, it seems kind of like she's
romanticizing it.
Putting it on. Thank you. That was the word.
Now, I can't show you too much of this, but when I clicked on I was flabbergasted. So when they met, they vlogged it and stuff. And very notably, Shannon, in multiple videos, and I'm pretty sure probably on Instagram and TikTok too, joked that Patience was her sister wife. And they, because they like did things together, like Patience came with at least some of her kids, stayed, I think, at Shannon's house. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And they met and they did things together around where Shannon lived, because they were like on a road trip or something. And then they stopped along Shannon's house, whatever. They met her and she was calling Patience a sister wife, which already is like inappropriate, even if it's a joke. Like, that's your surrogate. You know what I mean? Like, it's just strange.
It is giving kind of, yeah.
But then she created this, I mean, epitome of Handmaid's Tale. Like, I literally cannot with this video.
I was just gonna say that it's giving more, I guess, Handmaid's Tale, I feel like, as in Sister Wives, obviously. But it's just giving very, like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah. So she made this video that is about the first time meeting Patience. And all the kids are dressed in white, including them. They're dressed in white.
The thumbnail is giving cult.
No, literally.
Slash giving like actual like Mormon sister.
You think the thumbnail's giving that? Oh, you just hold on, sister. Now, this song, I don't know if this is, I'm not even trying to, if this is a real artist, like I am, sorry. Like, I'm not sure if it's an AI generated song or something, but it's a song about a surrogate. And I just want to show you just a little bit, as much as I can, without getting copywritten, if this is a real song. So there's like
the
running through
a field. This looks like a horror movie trailer.
Oh my God, not the candles. I'm so fucking dead. They're going in a circle. So it's like them in the park. But then it starts talking, like the lyrics start talking about like a surrogate. And hold on, let me skip to a good part. You're not just a surrogate.
Stop.
That line killed me. And I mean, listen.
The ring around the rosy. This is giving like A24 horror movie trailer.
I don't know. Yeah, it's very scary. What an interesting video. I must say, I'm so dead. Hopefully you will put the new baby in his car seat, unlike Storm. So I guess there's like other things that she's gotten caught doing with her kids.
But where is the husband?
Oh, he's working. Probably.
Oh, got it.
They went to some sort of theme park together. They show the kids the entire time, which obviously not great. Just a very bizarre, like romanticizing this surrogacy journey while joking about her being the sister wife. And it just seemed weird, just from even an outside perspective,
it
before
seemed
anything
weird.
Went wrong.
No, I feel like it objectively is weird.
Now, because Shannon is a very controversial, you know, figure, mm-hmm. people definitely reached out to Patience. They reached out to the agency and let them know, like, hey, did you know she used to step on crawfish, you know, dressed as a Nazi? Like, you know, fun fact. But Patience continued on. They like documented the whole thing. They did a video together where they were like answering questions and stuff. She did multiple videos talking about prices and, you know, they literally were like doing the whole social media thing. So color me surprised when on my For You page, I see the other day that they are no longer a match and that they are very much at odds with each other and fighting.
There is trouble in sister wife paradise.
There is. Oh, I did see people commenting that on some of Shannon's TikToks about this. And they were like, maybe you shouldn't have like called her your sister wife and stuff. She's like, I know that was a joke and I shouldn't have said it, but like, you're right. So this was posted on November 2nd. And I mean, up until this point, Patience had been documenting herself going to get a blood draw and like you have to be on birth control and getting scans and stuff. So she was talking about all the stuff she was doing to prepare her body to have Shannon's baby. So when this
Patience
came up,
was being a patient.
She was. Yeah, there you go. So this coming up on the 2nd of November, I was like, what the fuck?
I just wanted to make public knowledge that we unfortunately are no longer working with our surrogate. Some things came up that made us have to terminate our contract with her. Since then, it's come to our attention that she's still reaching out to people as if she's still our surrogate, and she's not. So I just wanted to publicly post that we're no longer working with her. The whole situation is obviously very heartbreaking. We've put a lot of time and a lot of money into this whole journey. It was really like hard for our family to have to do this after all of this time and all the money that was spent. It was something we really didn't want to do. So obviously there were some pretty big things that made us have to make that hard decision. But I just wanted to let you guys know, we've been sharing our journey. Wanted to let you guys know kind of where we're at right now. And yeah, sucks.
A few big questions. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't know that surrogacy is something you can just be like, whoops, we're going to terminate the contract. Because then doesn't she have the baby still?
Well, she wasn't pregnant yet.
What do you mean?
Oh, wait, you thought she was pregnant?
How long do you go about saying you're the surrogate when you're not?
I'm so dead. No, so basically they had like...
It was just like months of like planning?
No, you know what it is that they had documented it from the moment that they decided to be each other's match. That's the issue. They literally documented it from like the seed of the relationship. And so there's the match, but then you have to sign though all the legal paperwork with the agency. And then after that, then you could start the process of like finding the doctors and like making sure, I don't know, her insurance works with it. Like there's a lot of like logistics. Oh. And then you have to do an entire month cycle of like birth control, and they're monitoring you and like making sure your period comes and what your lining looks like. And it's like a whole thing. So it's very long.
I guess I just also didn't know what the timeline was here, and that this had, like, it seems like they had been documenting a lot. So I assumed
it's been like 4 months.
So they hadn't started the process at all. Like the embryo, like they still have?
Still frozen. Yeah. They hadn't done any transfer. Now, part of her caption says, I wish I could have seen the red flags at the beginning. Having the knowledge that the intended parents she worked with before me also stopped working with her before embryo transfer should have been a red flag. But she says that the intended parents, like, she got pregnant.
That she just couldn't.
I guess maybe there's more we don't know about. But then she says, I guess I'm just glad we found out what we did before we transferred our only embryo we have left into her. This was such a blow to our family. We have saved every penny for years to be able to afford to have a surrogate. Then right before transfer, when we had waited years for this moment to find out if we would be able to have our last baby, we were so excited. It feels like having another baby got ripped away from us overnight. We are devastated and heartbroken right now. We plan to keep all of this private.
Follow-up question. How much money did they give her if she hadn't even gotten pregnant yet?
Well, they saved $100,000. The thing is, they did explain this in Patience's video with Shannon, where she said, you get paid in intervals.
I think when we looked into it, it was like for intended parents or people that are going to be paying for a surrogate, I would say, regardless of where you are in the United States, you're going to be paying at least, and if you go through an agency, between 120 to like 250 grand or more.
Yeah, total.
So, and you have to kind of like have that already saved up, because a lot of the people, like when she was saying like escrow, like they make you put that chunk of money in there to make sure like you're able to pay for everything. And the surrogates don't get like all the money up front at once. They get, you guys get like what, like
stages. Yeah. So implantation up until then, that's like the first payments. And then when you have a confirmed heartbeat, that's when the base pay starts. Mm-hmm. And then throughout your pregnancy, you're getting those payments. So it's not just the intended parents are out when they pay everything to the surrogate. It's actually given to them in little like
increments.
Yeah. Up until you have the baby. So if there is a miscarriage, it's up until that time. Or if you do go to full term, you get that full money that you requested.
So you get paid for like the prep work, and then you get paid once it's transferred, and then if it's, you reach the 6 month mark, you get paid like more.
Yeah, but every, I feel like, you know, the majority of the payment would come after you were pregnant.
No, yeah,
assume.
For sure. Like, and that is why Shannon right now is like at odds with the agency, like trying to get her money back, because the money is in escrow and it's a whole thing. Like the agency has the money and then is like paying patients out.
Oh, like all of it.
Yeah, like all of it. You have to have all of the money.
Oh. So like the agency, she gives the agency all the money and then the agency disperses it.
Puts it in an escrow account and disperses it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that feels like it shouldn't be a hard thing to get back if it's not a shady agency.
I would think so, yeah. This is Patience's video. Very briefly talking about this. I cannot with the like cover picture. It says surrogacy goodbye.
Hey, unfortunately, my surrogacy journey has ended with the other couple.
That did sound like Miranda sings right there.
I'm telling you that I don't, there's something about it.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Like that is, it's like a calm Miranda sings
yeah,
voice.
Yeah.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
And I know that there is a right fit out there for me somewhere. I know that everything happens for a reason, and this was meant to be. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. If anybody has questions on anything, on what's going on, feel free to reach out.
Okay, she does that multiple times. She literally, even in her next video that we're going to watch, she's like, if you have any questions, like, reach out. What? Like, why would you invite people in an online feud to reach out to you?
And also, like, why are you answering the questions privately? I feel like you're so public about everything.
It's
like,
so
just
weird.
Do a Q&A.
But then comes Shannon's video. This is actually the first that I had heard of any of this on my For You page. It's like her editing a Zoom call that they had. So it's like the side by side of patient's face, and then it's Travis and Shannon on the other side. And it says on screen, a video I'm editing, surrogate admits she didn't take meds 2 of the 7 days.
I said I took the birth control, and then I also said that I didn't have it at the same time for a couple days, and then the 2 days that I was gone for that birth. But other than that, yes, I took it.
It says on screen, we are paying $60,000 to trust her to do this for, but the captions are over the rest, for our only embryo, I think. So to miss 2 of 7 days is going to not work like it should.
There's just multiple things that have happened that have gone on that between, like, you know, I thought we had agreed that, like, you were going to stop nursing. You said, yeah, that's no problem at all. So I was upset that I had seen, you know, since May that you still were nursing, because it was just something that we had agreed that you wouldn't do. It just feels like to us that you're not really taking it very seriously. And if you forgot your medication for one thing because you were busy, and then you forgot your medication for another thing, like, to me it just shows like you don't care very much. And for us, like, this is our baby. Like,
I know it is
to us, and it doesn't seem like it's important to you or that we can trust you.
And then I had that birth, and then I went to my appointment, so I wasn't able to take it because it was at home.
So obviously this is very edited, and patients and the agency, which we're going to see their video now, both stand by the fact that what Shannon is alleging happened didn't, that there was no medicine missed. I think that patients admits to taking it at a separate, like, a different time of the day. But
yeah,
that is what seems to be the main issue with Shannon and Travis, is that they are saying that, like, she wasn't taking the regimen seriously, and so they felt like she didn't give a shit. I would have to, like, see whatever proof. Like, she says she has, and this is very interesting, Shannon says she has video proof that patients didn't take her birth control. And I'm like,
were you recording her 24/7? And
that's what
her?
I thought at first, but then I'm like, I think she's probably just means the Zoom call and, like, something that she could, like, maybe edit together, or, like,
it's
something
her admitting
that she
it.
Said. Yeah, that.
I mean, I guess, like,
that.
if that's true, then, I mean, I feel like that's a valid reason to
you
not
be concerned,
want to move forward.
For sure. Yeah. It says in the caption, in the middle of editing a video to clear the air on some things that have been said about me that are not true. Full video coming soon. Which, spoiler alert, now she kind of, like, rescinded that and is, like, proceeding legally to try to, like, get her money back and stuff. So she says she can't talk anymore for now.
Okay.
Thank you for everyone supporting us during this time. This is obviously not something we expected to deal with after already dealing with the heartbreak that we have experienced. Your fertility advocates said in a video they recently posted about me, which we're going to watch in a second, that our surrogate took her birth control, but we have video evidence to prove she did not take it like she was supposed to. She skipped days and forgot her medication on more than one occasion, in addition to continuing to nurse, all which the agency was fully aware of. There's a lot more to it, so please be patient as I'm editing this video myself. I will say the nursing thing.
What does that have to do? What does that affect?
I mean, you just, like, when you are nursing, I know that it does affect, like, your hormone level and stuff. Like, when people stop nursing, like, usually you have, like, a crash of hormones. So I don't know if it interferes with any of the medications, maybe, of IVF.
You got it.
Nor would I know if you would, like, want to nurse when you're taking that much medication. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because then the baby would be getting it.
Yeah, this is a comment that she left on the TikTok that says, this is my experience with Your Fertility Advocate. So she names the agency again. And it is to warn people who are looking into agencies that I had a horrible experience and they are holding over $100,000 in funds they owe us until I take my videos I made about my experience with her down. So we're going to watch the agency's video right now, which is pretty bizarre. Patients reposted this as well. It's just kind of interesting how social media focused this whole thing is. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Hey, you might be clicking on this video because you're coming to hear about the Shannon Rose tea. I'm here to tell you there is no tea. There's no story. Unfortunately, I know you want the drama. There is none. I'll tell you very quickly.
She
very
still disturbing. Remains here for like 6 minutes. There's no tea, but let me get into it.
Like you called it tea in the beginning. Yeah.
My name is Megan. I'm the owner of Your Fertility Advocate Surrogacy Agency. We met Shannon Rose, who's a prominent social media influencer, through online. She found someone named Patience in one of these Facebook groups to match with. And they came to our agency already talking to each other and asking our agency if we'd be willing to represent both sides of them and kind of facilitate the match. We don't usually sign up to these arrangements, but in this case, I did talk to both of them and decide that we would agree to do this. They wanted to share openly their journey on social media, which we were okay with. I was warned there was some people who told me to be wary of Shannon. Her past is a bit colorful, to say the least.
Okay.
Do you pronounce it Shannon or Shannon?
It's Shannon. Is she saying Shannon?
She just said Shannon.
Oh, interesting. But colorful past. Interesting way to put it.
Nazi porn, colorful past.
And like, listen, I mean,
it's very colorful.
She can be like regretful of that and all that stuff. And I understand she doesn't do that anymore, obviously. So it's not to say that like she's doing that in the backyard and like her kids are watching. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
but
it's not
kind
like
of a
that.
Hard digital footprint.
There's
to
consequences to doing shit like that. There really is. And I do think that as an agency, I would have rejected her, to be honest. And
well, especially then if they're going to be promoting it on social media too. Like, right. You know that that's going to bring in attention, and it sounds like they wanted good attention but now don't like that there's bad attention.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you agreed to have your name attached. She tagged you multiple times before this to her surrogacy journey. Like, you wanted to be attached to that, so
they wanted the benefit of there being some reach, but they don't want the consequences of there being some negative stuff that comes with it.
Right.
You can Google it if you want, but at our agency we feel like everyone should have a chance for the families that they want to build, and if there's things in your past that you're not very proud of, you should be given second chances and it shouldn't haunt you. So no, we did move forward, even with the warnings, with this match. Both, as you know, if you follow
and now I bet you regret it, don't you?
And now
everybody
we're talking
deserves
about
a second
the
chance, even though I was warned specifically that Shannon, not only like her past, she drama-wise is like kind of bizarre. Like, this is very, very niche. And if you remember, you remember. Very briefly after I met her, or like very soon after, I mean, she faked an entire drama with somebody that was a drama channel by the name of Steven Mango. And it was the most bizarre shit I've ever seen in my life, Lily. She literally like manufactured, they both agreed to start this crazy online drama. And like, she would like say that he was a stalker and like that he was outside her house. And like, it was this whole fucking thing. And then they did a video together and we're like, JK, we were just kidding.
What?
It was the weirdest thing on the internet ever. And mind you, she was like an adult. And like, I'm pretty sure already had a kid at that point. Like, it was a fucking bizarre situation.
Even back to the thing you brought up with the Tana Mojo, like the dead body. Yeah. Like, because didn't they find out that that man was deceased? Or was
Did
it just
die?
Like they were joking?
I think he might have been like overdosed or something. Like it was like that. Yeah.
Regardless, she was like 30 at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, like she has an older internet
presence.
Like, that's
wild.
Like, she has always been older while she was on the internet. So, like,
it's not like, oh, back when I was a 15-year-old, I would said a dumb thing. It's like, no, you were a fully grown adult and multiple things happened.
My peak of like my story times and shit was like when I was 21, 22 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was not fully developed in the frontal lobe. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, her internet decisions have always been kind of poor. So it's like just interesting to me that the agency would become privy to that information and then just be like, yeah, it's okay. She deserves, you know what I mean? And then like be shocked that it backfired and that now she's like exposing you on social media.
Either of these couples, they're quite opinionated in some of their ideas, home birth, no vax, things like that. These are things that they share in common that could make them a good match. I remember saying, wow, this is either going to be a really great match or this is going to be a disaster. We had not really done
Why
this
Why would
before.
It be a disaster?
The reason I'm talking about it openly now is because we did give this match a chance, and it did go sideways. And so this can be a learning lesson to everyone in the community about missteps that could be made and how things could be handled better. So our agency, and we did find that Shannon is posting openly on social media about her version of events, which is why I'm making this video, because Unfortunately, I don't like things to be all online. I don't like drama. But if somebody else is painting a narrative,
that's why you're talking about it.
False, I do feel like we have to clear the air and state our side of the story. So the match moved forward.
Not the construction.
I was just going to say, are they cutting grass again?
Or is that in the video? Like, what is happening?
Got it.
They didn't even get to the point of a pregnancy. They signed a legal contract together. And then the surrogate was supposed to start with some birth control pills to prepare her body.
Oh, my God.
She did. And her period was not coming at the time they thought it would. So Shannon and her husband got in their mind that the surrogate was not taking the birth control as prescribed. And they started to have some doubts about her seriousness about being their surrogate, which is okay. We tried to counsel them that there's no reason to doubt her at this point. There's no medical evidence, but that was not sufficient for them.
Oh my God.
There was something fishy going on.
Maybe we stop filming and reconvene at a different
time. Yeah, no, she has completely tuned out the fact that World War III is happening right above her.
Just not proven at all. No medical professional is saying that the surrogate did anything incorrect medically. Nothing was breached.
Incorrect.
Contracts were breached, but it was clear that there had been some trust issues about, you know, the parents trusting their surrogates. So Shannon decided to break the match, and she stated her mental health was the reason to break the match. She contacted her attorney and broke the match with her surrogate, and the surrogate felt blindsided. She didn't know about these so-called issues. So the match was broken, but then Shannon regretted the decision and wanted the surrogate to come back and agree to be her surrogate again, which the surrogate understandably so was wary about. And Shannon's conditions to continue the match was that they had to live with their surrogate in the same home, and Shannon wanted to be able to give all the injection medications so she could verify that she was taking the medications correctly.
What?
That is the most insane.
That is insane.
If that is fucking true, then we are in Handmaid's Tale. Like, that is fucking crazy.
That's absolutely nuts. You're going to have to live with me and be our pregnancy slave.
Literally. Yeah. And it very much, if that is true, like, echoes the sentiment of, like, intended parents not giving a shit and treating a surrogate like an incubator. And that is just, like, so beyond fucked up. She has her own life. She has her own kids.
Nope. She's their handmaid.
She's already letting you fucking rent her womb for 9 months. You know what I mean? Like, it's, come on. That is, as much as she loves being pregnant and stuff like that, it is still very difficult. It's, birth is very hard on your body and your pelvic floor and all of that. Like,
I would also imagine that most surrogates, I mean, not that they're doing it just for the money. Obviously, you have to like being pregnant and be okay with that to be able to be a surrogate, but like, you don't get to just be like, oh, you're gonna live with me and be literally like locked in a room until you give birth. Like, that's not how it works.
So our agency said that was not standard, not normal behavior. We don't advise that. We don't advise the surrogate to agree to rematch under these conditions. The match is broken. Let's leave it as is. Let's go our separate ways and wish everyone well.
I do have to say also, sorry to pause again, but even though Shannon was like kind of insinuating that the agency is lying about her, I do have to say, like, it is very bizarre, or it would be bizarre, if the agency is coming on here and lying to like protect patients or just like oppose Shannon for funsies. Like, this makes more sense.
Well, that's
this
a pretty wild
happened.
Thing to make up.
Yeah. And like, legally, I feel like the agency would be facing a lot of repercussions if they just came on social media and like divulged all this information that is not true. Like, what is
their
motive?
Well, also, I was thinking,
I don't get it.
Is there like HIPAA violations? Yeah. Like, it does seem weird that she is able to talk so freely about their like, there's no confidentiality or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be HIPAA, because I think HIPAA is only supposed to be like observed by like
for
healthcare
doctors.
Professionals. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, some confidentiality would be.
I don't know. Like, it feels presumed. Like they would have some kind of.
But it also feels like that, she would have been sure before she got online and did this.
Oh, no. I'm wondering, like, is this like kind of maybe a shady agency?
Maybe.
That, like,
maybe. I don't know.
Or that like maybe they waived any confidentiality because she was going to post everything on social media anyway.
Or maybe because the match is broken, like the contract is no longer valid. Like, I don't know. It's maybe a lot of things.
It does
that
seem
happened.
Pretty crazy, though. Yeah.
And we hoped that that would be the end of it. But unfortunately, that wasn't. When the surrogate did not agree to rematch with the parents under those conditions, the parents have become very angry and irate about that. And they've then demanded all money that they've paid for their surrogate, like her legal fees and her medical screen, be refunded back to them, and things like rental cars. They paid for her rental car to come visit them where they live, and they wanted money back for the rental car, and on and on and on and on. It's just a lot. They also came
with
our agency saying that we committed fraud and that we stole money from them, and they're going to call the police on us, and they're going to report us to all these media outlets. And none of this is true. And when she broke the match and said it was because of her mental health, it's clearly a mental health issue, and We think this is a blessing in disguise that this match is over and we wish you well, but we will get you any money refunded that you are obligated due to your legal terms. With the legal contract you sign, our agency can't override those terms, but we will get you settled up on everything that's legal, and we wish you well, and I'm sorry that you didn't get the outcome you wanted, but let's all go our separate ways and not cause any more drama.
Yikes. It was weird that that like started as like, let me tell you the tea, and then it ends with her directly talking to Shannon.
So remember in Shannon's caption, she claimed that the agency was not going to give her her money back unless she took her videos down.
Yeah.
So some people were commenting on the agency's post and saying, but why'd you say if she takes her videos down, it'll speed up the process of her getting her money back, then later said it's not in your control. It's up to escrow who's holding it. Which one is it? Did you flat out lie to her? Because how would her taking down the videos mean she gets her money back faster? And they responded and said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. If this is something Shannon has posted that I quote unquote said, I would proceed with extreme caution. I've always told her that everything that is legally her money will be returned back to her. Her money is in an escrow account and the escrow company has to follow the legal contract. Money transfers and sorting out a broken match takes a little bit of time. This match just broke a few days ago and today is Monday. Banks are closed on weekends. Shannon needs to be patient and not make up stories. No one stole her money. It's all there and safe and will be coming back to her soon.
That's wild. Yeah, it does lean more towards Shannon's making this up and that her video that she was teasing was like manipulated to just make her look like she was calm, cool, and collected when she wasn't.
Somebody commented on Shannon's Instagram, I think this is, and it says, honestly, based on the video that the agency posted, you went a bit crazy. I mean, wanting patients to move in with you so you can give her the injections and watch her every move is crazy. And Shannon responds, can you save the video where they say this, please, and send it to me? I need it for my lawyers. This has gotten so far out of control.
Like, why can't you save it?
I'm so dead.
like, are you kidding?
Another comment says, they're saying you asked the surrogate to move in with you so you can monitor her and give her the injections yourself. And she says, that is not true at all. The truth has been completely twisted and I can post proof because that full conversation was recorded.
What conversation? Like that, you don't, there could have been multiple conversations.
Yeah. And Patience has talked about how essentially she's like, I don't have that conversation anymore. Like I agreed to her to have the conversation. I didn't agree for any recording to be posted. Like she knew it was being recorded. So I guess that bypasses like, just because you're posting it, like you have the right if it's like being recorded consensually.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the recording that needs consent.
Yeah, but she seems kind of like blindsided by that and was like, I did not like know she was going to post that. I thought she was just like recording for her records type of thing. But Shannon on her stories posted a bunch of text messages between her and the fertility clinic. And they did, I mean, unless this is doctored, it does say here, if you want to speed up the process of getting your money back, pull down your videos and stop the drama.
Shit.
And then she responds, I'm not taking my videos down until we are paid back in full. I don't trust you for obvious reasons and people should know the truth, especially when you're refusing to give people back their money and trying to control what they say online about you as leverage to be paid back money that never belonged to you to begin with. That was for the surrogate. Now, I will say she's not saying you're not going to get your money back unless you take your videos down. She's saying like,
no, but that is weird to like
it, I guess.
She's trying to like bribe her to take them down sooner or to take them down in general.
Right. Right, yeah. And then as she posts other stories, it says on screen her earlier today saying she's going to call escrow and send it over today. And the text message from Megan, which is, I think, the lady we just watched from the agency.
Yeah.
And it says, there is no need to threaten. I already told you I would get you refunded. Let's work together in a calm and sensible manner to get this case closed and all loose ends wrapped up. I have a few meetings this morning and then I'll reach out to escrow to see about getting them to release the funds back to you early. Please remove the social media postings. We agreed to work together to settle things privately. Please honor that agreement.
This is
messy.
A lot of, I don't know. This is interesting. Yeah. I don't know what to believe because honestly, even Shannon does present as not like aggressive or anything. Like she seems very like matter of fact in that video that she posted.
In which one? The one where she's talking to the camera, not the Zoom one?
No. In the Zoom one where she's like calling her out. Like it doesn't seem like they're being really like
irate,
like crazed and manic and any like at all. It's like if those really were true things that happened, those were valid concerns. We obviously aren't seeing proof of the she wanted me to live there and like wanted to personally administer all the drugs, which
is such a bizarre claim to make if that is not true.
It would be crazy for them to make that up. And then also that they would be like conspiring together to smear Shannon.
Yeah.
Like for what?
But there's more text and it says, I haven't even posted the main video showing everything yet. So the longer you wait, the more that's going to come out about what you're doing and what you've done. It's pretty awful. And she says, I'm not going to be responding to you anymore. This is harassment at this point. I've already told you that everything you are rightfully owed will be coming back to you. Escrow holds your money. Our agency doesn't have your money. Escrow has to release it and then they can only release it per the terms of your legal contract. But then she says, you said today you were going to call escrow to send it back early. So you're lying again. Or just keeping it because you were mad that I posted videos about my experience with your company, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. You're refusing to talk to me when you owe me close to $100,000. How convenient.
Very messy. Yeah, I agree that like she did act like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to call him and see if I can get early and maybe it'll get there faster if you take the videos down. That is,
it's a little shady,
I feel like,
for sure.
Crossing some ethical lines, yeah. Perhaps. I don't know. This whole thing is very messy. Yeah. I don't know what to believe.
And we'll end it with her recent post. She has posted this on all platforms. It says, I know there has been things said about me and questions about what happened with the surrogate and the agency. The situation is very serious and my legal team has advised me not to post or speak publicly about the details until all documents are collected and the legal filings are in place. So that means she wants to like sue them in some way, shape, or form. Once that process is complete, I will be able to share everything openly, including the proof and what has really been happening behind the scenes. Surrogacy alone is an emotional and vulnerable journey, and dealing with the situation on top of it has honestly been devastating. It has affected me deeply. I want more than anything to post my video and show the truth right now, but I have to wait so this is handled the right way, not just for me, but so this doesn't keep happening to anyone else. Thank you to everyone who has reached out and shown support. The truth will come to light soon. And then after she posted that she can't talk anymore, that's when Patience posted her like last video and like actually sits down and talks about it. And we don't have to watch Patience's video, but her caption basically talks about like how much time and heart and energy she poured into the journey, into like preparing her body and mind and stuff to have a baby. And like, obviously this didn't turn out how she hoped. And like, she's just going to focus on like being a better person and finding a better situation in the future, which like, you know what, slay queen, I guess. Like I'm very confused. I don't know who to believe. The agency seems kind of shady. I think they both did it for a social media reason, which definitely muddies it.
The fact that all of it is online is making it way weirder. And the way that she addressed, like the agency lady addressed it in that video, like how she started out was even weird. It seems like logically it makes more sense that Shannon is the one lying, because like who would make that up? But like also we've seen people make up some really crazy shit. All these things are our opinions. This is everything is alleged and we don't know anything for sure. These are not facts.
Yeah, Lily texted me before we covered this and she's like, well, without Shannon's like main video on it, do you think we'll have enough to cover? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. Because like, even though her main video hasn't come
enough
out, which
cover
I think
without
we'll
a conclusion,
probably,
but yeah,
add some maybe context or something to maybe better understand it. Obviously, that's going to be an edited down video. So like,
I was just going to say, it could go either way. It could give more context and clarity on the situation, or it could just make it even messier.
Yeah.
Which I have a feeling it might be the latter.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens when that video does come out. But I wanted to cover it because like, it's just such a weird like niche topic. We haven't covered anything like that. And then also the fact that like I kind of know Shannon, I was like, this is so bizarre. I can't deal with this.
Interesting.
Well, anyway, we love the internet.
Sure. Do you want to watch the crawdad video?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Kidding. Do you want the cutest puppy ever or a possum, a raccoon, and a skunk and a cat?
Jesus. I mean, cutest puppy sounds wonderful.
There's really not a whole lot of action going on, but it says that this was his first hike and we carried him 90% of the way, but it was so incredible to watch him just take in the world, and truly take in the world he does. Just looking around, but it is a little face to just want to squish.
What an interesting mix of a dog.
It's a Australian cattle dog.
Oh, it looks like a freaking lab and a pit bull and like a million things to me.
No, that's a specific breed.
Well, mine is significantly less cute. It reminds me of my Jessica Urban days when I used to request that I sing a song and then I would respond to my request to sing that song, obviously.
Yes, from all of your supporters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says that one time I posted a Q&A, but all the questions were from me.
What is your race? I am Mexican. I don't know, I'm gonna scroll. Thank you guys for getting me a lot of questions.
Thank you guys.
So many questions. I've gotten this request so many times.
I'm so fucking dead. The scrolling really sold it. Love that for him. Oh, you know, we all had that stage. He must be a Leo as well. Okay, because it's a lifestyle. Well, that's all we've got for you. So if you made it to the end, we appreciate you very much. But as always, we hope you have a fantastic week. And we will see you on Friday. Bye.
Cheers.